Surely there is grandeur in knowing that in the realm of thought, at least, you are without a chain, that you have the right to explore all heights and depth, that there are no walls, nor fences, nor prohibited places, nor sacred corners in all the vast expanse of thought. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found secular yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
I was wondering if you were going to say anything.
I was waiting for the music to die down.
Yeah, okay.
As usual.
Sure you were.
You're just impatient.
Yeah, well, that's obvious.
All right, fine. We'll just get into the show since you're so impatient today.
Thank you.
All right, I've got Twitterers.
Twitterers?
Twitterers.
Is that proper English?
I don't care.
Okay, just checking.
I've got W. Scott Smith, who is our guest on last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Liz and Tony. I've got Goods from the Woods.
Uh-huh.
Carolyn B. Carnahan. Jonathan Ariola from the Too Deep, Too... Always going to love that.
Nice.
Too Deep, Too Fast podcast. I tried to say it too deep and too fast.
Okay, sure.
And he'll be a guest, I think, in a few weeks.
Oh, okay.
So, Philosophical Atheism.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and Benedict. Think Out Loud Pod. Radio versus the Martians, which is one of my favorite non-atheist podcasts.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the few non-atheist podcasts I listen to.
Uh-huh.
And Jay Thompson. Those are our new Twitterers.
Very nice.
And if you can follow us on Twitter, too, what's our address?
Yeah, sure.
At Secular Yakking. It's not like I made it hard. Come on. How long have we been doing this? What show number is this? 90.
And your point would be...
You think after 90 shows, you would get it right once.
Nope. In one ear, out the other.
All right.
I have no memory, literally.
Fine.
So that's my excuse.
Do you remember we get iTunes reviews?
Sure.
Yeah, it's been that long, I forgot we get them too. But we did get one.
Uh-huh.
And it's from TDTF Pod 1,
uh-huh.
Which is obviously too deep, too fast.
Uh-huh.
It says, finding a friend in thought, 5 stars. Listening to the show makes me hopeful.
Cool.
Yeah, that's an awesome
I like
one.
It.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, I like when we get those messages.
I like getting iTunes reviews because it bumps us up in the iTunes rankings, gets people to see our show more.
I just like listening to what they have to say.
People have lots to say.
Kind of sound like a narcissist. You.
Me?
Yeah, you.
No. See, if we get bumped up in iTunes, more people listen, so more people get the news and information we're putting out.
Okay, I just like to hear what people have to say.
See, that's narcissism.
See, no, it's not like that. I just like to hear what people's opinions are.
Right, at least you're not applauding your own speech.
Oh, yeah. Heard about that.
That'll be probably next week, I think. So the fascist in chief's joint address to Congress just ended not too long ago, and I watched the whole thing, and I'm rather unhappy.
You usually are.
And I'm not quite ready to dissect that thing yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Just follow what I said on Twitter, and you'll see why. There's a lot.
Okay.
Anyway, we should get on to our current news.
That would usually how we would do it.
Priest says woman wearing jeans and t-shirts arouse men, wants them drowned in the sea.
Say what?
I said it right.
I'm reading it too.
A Catholic priest in Kerala, India, is angry about the clothing choice of women in his congregation.
Is he wearing jeans and a t-shirt?
Yeah, listen. When I go for prayer meetings in some churches, especially during the Holy Mass, I feel like leaving because some of the women who I see in front of me, I feel it's better to kick them out of the church premises.
Because of jeans and a t-shirt.
Now, let me continue.
Mm-hmm.
Men should not wear women's clothes and women should not wear men's clothes. If you do, you disregard God.
Wow. Now, all of this basically comes back around to the fact that he can't control himself.
Yeah.
Is what this all comes back to.
That is correct.
And yet the woman's the one that should be drowned at sea.
Yes.
It's an interesting idea that that's what he came up with.
Well, he has biblical reasoning for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see that now. I wasn't going there, but I get it now.
Yeah. Let's see. Many boys after prayer meetings come to me and say, the moment we get out of the church, we see women wearing half-nude clothes. Half-nude clothes.
Again, jeans and a t-shirt.
Now, wait. We get aroused and slip into sin.
Oh, I'm pissed now.
Right.
They get aroused their fault, and it's the women's fault.
Always. So, Bible verses say, those who provoke you into sin should be drowned in the depths of the sea with a rock tied to their bodies. If women arouse men, they're the sinner.
Well, at least he's accurate in following what he reads.
I don't...
I mean, I don't know. Just if that's what he says that his Bible actually says.
I don't remember that anywhere. I've done a little bit of reading into the bad stuff the Bible says. Mm-hmm. I don't remember this.
I don't recall it. But then again, I don't really care. So I'm not one of those atheists that needs to go read the damn Bible again blah, blah, blah. Because I honestly don't care. I don't see them reading any of the shit we do.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, I'm not going to waste the precious moments I have to read more of the crap again.
Well.
But back to the point.
Yes.
The fact that because a woman wears jeans, t-shirt, a long muumuu, it doesn't matter. She turns him on and yet she's the one that's the problem.
Obviously.
Because he can't keep it in his pants, basically.
Yeah. In fact, in India, this is a huge problem.
Because they're horn dogs?
Yeah, there's actually a huge rape problem in India because men can't control their sexual urges.
Actually, because they're not being accounted to hold their self under control. They're not having to. They're not being taught to. Instead of just saying, you know, women stop wearing these clothes because we can't control ourselves. Otherwise, you know, it would just make too much sense to say, okay, men, this is how you need to conduct yourself when you're around women and, you know, whatever. But to blame it because of what they wear, regardless of what they're wearing.
Right. Well, we have the same problem here in America.
Well, it's like that everywhere. It doesn't matter, you know, what country, what religion. It's just, it seems like if a woman is wearing certain clothing, no matter whether it's, like I said, a full muumuu or a fucking mini skirt, it's always seems to be her fault and not the guy who's having the issue in the first place.
Yeah, we've gone over this with our girls before with the school and the spaghetti straps because it will distract the boys.
Again, that same mentality.
Tell the boys not to be distracted.
And if anything happens to a woman while she's wearing these clothes, they say because she was wearing that short skirt or, you know, what have you.
She was asking for it, right?
I'm not even going to say that because that really pisses me off royally. So I'm not even going to say that. But, you know, it's, again, one, not teaching the men or boys how to conduct and control themselves. And, you know, just because you feel this way doesn't mean you act on it or, you know, what have you. It's constant, never ending cycle, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, just frustrating.
Good evening. Don't be startled, children. I will be filling in as storytime counselor. So sit back, get comfortable. My story begins on a night just like this one.
That's right. It's time for another science segment.
We haven't heard that in a while.
Well, it's because we haven't had any big science news in a while.
Well, I really like that little pinky in the brain thing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
NASA has discovered 7 planets with Earth-like qualities orbiting a nearby star, making them among the strongest candidates in the continued search for extraterrestrial life among known exoplanets.
I thought it was just cool that there was 7 Earth-like planets, period.
In one shot.
Well, not that part's amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, regardless of life or not on any of them, just the discovery of those alone I thought were pretty amazing.
Yeah. The planets all orbit a star named TRAPPIST-1. It's an ultra-cool dwarf star.
And, you know, honestly, it doesn't surprise me either.
No, we were bound to find something like this.
Of course we were. I mean, mathematically, we're bound to find things like this. You know, we can only see such a tiny, minute part that I'm sure this isn't the only thing we'll ever find, you know, as our technology gets better for seeing and whatnot. There'll be many more things that we discover, I'm sure.
Yeah, this one was kind of cool the way they discovered it. The way they discover all planets is really cool because they watch the star and they watch for it to dim.
Right.
Right. And then they know there's a planet. Well, not only did they notice this dimming, but they noticed there was odd rotational values with the dimming.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, okay, there's got to be a lot of planets there, or either, you know, a couple massive planets or a lot of small planets.
Right.
So I thought it was really cool the way they figured that out.
So now they'll have all new kinds of things to study and learn from over here.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool planets.
How far away?
40 light years.
That's not that far, considering.
Space-wise, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean,
someday when we can light travel, that's only 40 years.
Right.
Right.
Well, even if we get close to light travel, it could feasibly...
But it's within a lifetime, right. I mean, give or take.
Yeah. Or, you know, figure if we get light travel, we've probably got, what's it called? People freezing. Cryogenics. Sorry.
Oh my God, people freezing.
People freezing. and not the bad kind.
Oh, that's funny. But no, I'm thinking actually, if we can even get to the point of getting close to light speed, we're actually going to discover so much before we even get to the traveling to them in the first place.
Yeah,
because we have so much to do if we could do that here and now.
Well, getting to light speed is.
Yeah, I know.
Currently, based on the laws of physics, unobtainable.
Correct.
So, but the idea that these are Earth like planets gives us more.
Very encouraging.
For alien life forms.
Mm hmm. So, more chances for all kinds of discoveries.
I think it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for more information to come out on these as they study them more and more. Better telescopes, hopefully be able to see them. See them one day.
And only being 40 light years away kind of helps with being able to study them better that way as well.
And it means they're on the same time scale we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the stuff we study are, you know, hundreds and thousands of light years away.
Right. And so
or millions of light years, right?
Right, you're basically looking at the past.
Right. This one, it's, you know,
not too terribly. The 70s. Oh, my God.
They're still wearing big mustaches and
bell bottoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and lots of avocado green and gold.
Well, at least the music's halfway decent.
That is true. That is true.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster "In God We Trust" on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an "In God We Trust" decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
All right, I got a story that's probably going to make you angry-ish.
Mm-hmm.
A transgender boy wins controversial girls' state title.
Yeah, I've been hearing about this in the news. I'm sure a lot of people have, actually.
Yeah. Texas has a state law that high school athletes must compete as the sex they were born.
Right, not who they identify as.
Yeah, they say it's to keep boys from competing in girls' sports.
So stupid.
Right. But that policy just backfired bigly.
Must you?
I must. Matt Beggs, the transgender boy who loves to wrestle. He began his transition over 2 years ago and has been on hormone therapy, including testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he won the state championship in the girls' division.
Right, because they were jerks and told him that he had to wrestle with the gender he was born to, even though he identifies with and wanted to wrestle with the boys' team.
Right.
And of course, as usual, parents and girls are pissed because he won, surprise, surprise, and they're saying how it's not fair and blah, blah, blah. It's not like he asked to wrestle with the girls. He wanted to wrestle with the boys.
He did.
They could have let him wrestle with the boys, and they wouldn't be whining about him taking down the girls.
No, he wouldn't. But, you know, I guarantee that had he beat the boys, they'd have been whining about testosterone.
Well, that's just stupid. You know, actually, they're whining about testosterone, or the, you know, fact it's a steroid already, even right. with the girls.
In fact, one mother said this. She's standing there holding her head high like she's the winner. She's not winning. She's cheating. The mother named Patty Overstreet added, "It's not equal. It's never going to be equal." Let's stop right there. Not she.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You did say that, didn't you?
It's not she. Mac wants to be called he.
They do that on purpose. I know
they do
that
on purpose, and it pisses me right the fuck off.
It pisses me off royally. It's disrespectful. It's rude, and it's just spiteful.
Yeah,
I find it ridiculous. They're just whining because he beat them.
Yeah,
first of all, but mostly, you know, he was on testosterone, which, yes, it is a steroid, but it's doctor given, so it's not like he was like shooting up to get muscles and win the big match kind of thing.
Right.
You know, that's not what it was all about. And, you know, it's that whole hormone therapy that you have to go through. And the fact that he didn't even want to wrestle the damn girls in the first place. What are they bitching about? I mean, and to blame him?
Right.
It wasn't his choosing. I mean, one thing I do find concerning, because hearing some of the adults and whatnot, I kind of worry for his safety, actually, after all this.
Yeah, he's still got another year. He's only a junior.
And he was very gracious, you know, afterwards, saying how, you know, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't, you know, done all this if it wasn't for my teammates. And, you know, just really good heart. Kind of, you know, praising teammates and no gloating whatsoever, but yet, you know, dumb pricks have to bring it down, you know.
Had they just allowed him to wrestle with the boys, this would not even be an issue. I don't even understand the problem.
Yeah, I find that ridiculous. If you are going through hormone therapy as a particular gender, that's the gender you need to be competing with. Because physiologically. Yeah, whatever you said. They need to be with who they are identifying with.
Because once they start the hormone therapy, their chemistry changes.
It's not just words at that point. Right. There's a whole physical aspect of it that they can compete on the same level as which gender they're going for.
Right.
And I don't understand why they make it so damn complicated. I mean, it doesn't even need to be like this, okay? You know, you're going through hormone therapy to be a man, okay? You're on the men's team. You know, what's the problem?
I don't know. It's because they don't understand it, and it's crap like that. Misgendering, that is the worst part, right?
Right, because, I mean, the same thing would be if, you know, you were transgendering to a girl.
Right.
Once, you know, they're going through the hormone therapy, they're getting estrogen, which is bringing their muscle mass down. It's bringing, you know, all that somewhat of advantage that men physically have, you know, between a man and a woman. And if they're going through the therapy to be a woman, they should be, you know, competing on a woman's team.
Right.
It's not hard, people. I mean, seriously. And you would all stop whining about it if you would let them compete with where they should be competing.
Or the other option is make co-ed sports.
Or that.
And then no one has to worry about it. You compete in your weight class, period.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
That's it.
That is true.
I mean, if you're a wrestler and you're competing in the 110 weight class, you're going to wrestle people that are roughly your size and shape.
Sometimes, though, with wrestling, it's slightly different, though. Because even weight class-wise, I was trying to think of, like, muscle mass differences between men and women.
When you're specifically working out, say like for wrestling, you're going to work out muscles and do training that is specific to wrestling. I don't think there's that huge a difference in the way the muscles are set up in general.
Yeah, but women don't develop muscle mass the same way. If they're both training for wrestling, are not going to develop the muscle mass that a guy in her same weight class is going to develop. So in that aspect, I kind of sort of could see it not being, you know, co-ed. There should be the option. So, you know, if that's, you know, to see how it goes, if people choose that, or even if you stay gender separate. But again, it should be based on physical aspect, meaning so when you do have the transgender issue, it's based physically, you know, the gender that they're with. It shouldn't be, okay, because you were born a boy, you're going to stay on the boys team, right, or a girl.
Even if you haven't had the gender reassignment.
Right. I don't think that's the right process. No. And unfortunately, Texas is one of the states that has the law that you have to play sports on the team that you were born as.
Yes.
Some states have where there's no policy.
Right.
And then some states have that it's open. That, you know,
whichever one you identify,
right,
as.
Whichever you choose.
Yeah, Washington State's one of those states.
Yeah, they are.
Which is good.
But there's a handful that have the you have to be what you were born as crap.
Right.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
Republican state senator, Texas state senator, mm-hmm, Don Huffines, I think that's how it's said.
Whatever.
On Friday, linked same-sex marriage to worldwide poverty and suggested that transgender rights pose a threat to survival of human race.
And this is our
this
Potter.
This is our Potter Award. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Kind of got to mention this is the fine Potter dude.
Potter Award. Anyway, I got audio of this guy.
Oh, okay.
I like audio.
Alrighty.
I am a student at the University of Texas at Dallas, and I was also a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. The two things those have in common, that they both have gender-neutral restrooms. And there has never been an incident, ever, of anyone violating anyone in the restroom. Ever. I used the restroom next to a woman at the convention. Nothing happened. I use the restroom next to a woman at the university almost every day. Nothing ever happens. I would invite you to come to the university, take a look and see how it's actually like, and maybe get the party of small government out of the restroom. Thank you.
Fair enough. I would say this. I've met with the transgender community on various occasions. Their goal is they do not want transgender bathrooms because that's discriminatory, right? Let me just tell you real quick on that topic. They want to make sure the folks I met with say they want to make sure we are gender neutral. There is no gender. They don't want there to be male and female. They want it to be gender neutral. It's however you perceive your gender, right? Now think of the implications on that in our society, or the human rights, of who we are as a species, just in the business community. How would you ever sell insurance? Everything is about who we are, right? Is a male or a female. That is their goal. And I'm sorry, let's go real quick on poverty. I just want to address that. The number one cause of poverty, not only in the United States, but worldwide, most people don't know this, divorce. The traditional family and between a man and a woman is what is the ministry to everything, our health, our education, and our welfare. That's just a statistical fact. Even the state of Texas will give you that. So if we really want to focus on poverty, let's focus on keeping the families united and together.
All right, so there's a couple things to break down in there. First, let's start with the transgender issue.
Mm-hmm.
While it's true that transgender people don't want a transgender bathroom, because that would be discriminatory, that would be considered separate but equal.
Right.
Right? So you can't give them their own bathroom. Mm-hmm. But what they do want is just to be able to go in the bathroom they identify with. They really don't care about a gender-neutral bathroom.
That's kind of where I was going to ask and what I was going to go towards. Because I was going to say, from my understanding, isn't it, they just want to be able to go to the bathroom they identify with. They don't need a
gender-neutral bathroom.
Bathroom.
And that's fine. Gender-neutral bathrooms are just fine. It alleviates the bigger problem, right? But it doesn't address the whole problem.
Right. And, you know, as far as gender-neutral bathrooms go, I'm okay with them if they are single-stall bathroom.
They have to be single-stall.
You know, like, you know, the typical, you open the door and there's the toilet, you know. There's no actual row of stalls kind of deal. It's just a single bathroom. I'm fine with those. But for me personally, I'm not a fan of the gender-neutral multi-bathroom where there's several stalls. That's just my preference, and it has nothing to do with safety whatsoever. It has to do more of a, just kind of like, you know, when you're in the stalls, you have those spaces on either side of the door where the hinges are, right?
Yeah.
And you can see through there.
Yeah.
And there's like this kind of unwritten girl code that you just don't look in the stalls. Well, it's
the same
stalls.
There's the same thing in the men's room.
You know?
You don't look in.
And personally, not going for a safety aspect of it, just the whole wandering eyes aspect. Yeah, if you know, you have guys and girls in the same bathroom. Creepy.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of like I'm not comfortable with that, let alone listening to anything personally for anybody else, you know. But like I said, if it's a single, you know, bathroom, then, and people come and go, okay, when you're done, the next person can go in, kind of thing, that's totally fine. But is back to the transgender thing, that was what I was going to ask you. Isn't it that they would just prefer to be able to use the restroom they identify with? They don't need any special treatment.
Right.
They just want
to go to the bathroom.
Normalness, you know?
They want to go to the bathroom without feeling weird.
And the fact that we're having lately this ridiculous conversation time and time again, whether it's our media or what have you, about bathrooms, I think is absurd. They should be able to just go to the bathroom they identify with and be done with it.
I agree.
Not to mention on the safety factor, hello, most safety things that have ever happened were in the bathroom being used by the same gender towards the same gender in the bathroom. So it has nothing to do with transgender, period.
No, we've gone over that ad nauseum. So.
Yeah. Anyways.
So the next issue I have with this little speech he gave is number one cause of poverty is divorce.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of zoning on that one because I was trying not to sneeze. So yeah, what was that said?
He said the number one cause of poverty, not only in the United States, but worldwide, is divorce. Traditional family between a man and a woman is what the ministry to our health and our education and our welfare.
So wait, he's blaming poverty on divorce?
Yes. He says number one cause of poverty, divorce.
No, it's not, dude. Get your facts right.
Well, he says it's a fact right there.
So he's wrong, obviously.
How so?
Because it's been proven that that's not the number reason for poverty. There's so many other things.
Education.
Education is a huge one. Drugs, that's another one. I mean, there's all kinds of things. The fact that shit is so ridiculously expensive, regardless of two incomes or one, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it just on situations, but he's talking the number one reason for poverty.
Yeah, that's absolutely
right. And where did he go? Why did he go from what he was talking about into divorce and the number one reason for poverty?
There was a question previously, because this was during a town hall or something, and there was a question about poverty earlier.
Oh,
but
so
we didn't
he
get
just
that.
All of a sudden went
he just
there.
Because he pointed at someone else and said, on the question on poverty.
Oh, okay. Right? Got it.
But his whole concept is that because it's not traditional family.
Right, right, exactly.
Right, that you need to go back to the traditional family, which is another code word for
the servient wife in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant.
More than that, anti-same-sex marriage.
Oh, yeah, that's where he's going. That's probably why he brought it up with the transgender info on
right,
it.
Right, because
It's not the traditional family.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 because he thinks we still live in the 50s.
Exactly.
And that's where he's going with this.
Well, I don't give someone a pot award for just being a jerk once.
I was going to ask.
He also gets a little bit rude when students confront him on school choice.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Well, they have to be in our district. No, they have to go to our schools. That is selfishness.
What are you scared of?
62% of all property taxes paid by a business.
I think you have a student in the back.
Especially with these vouchers, what are you planning to give them? $5,000 a year?
majority of private schools is $5 a semester. How are these lower income families supposed to pay for the rest of the school?
Oh, so it doesn't pay for all their education. It doesn't pay for all their education, does it? The $5,000 won't pay for it, right?
It doesn't work.
So it doesn't pay for it. So you're saying that, okay, since we're not giving them enough money to pay for all their education, screw them, they can't go to private school. Oh, you're going to say they can't go to private school because we're not giving them enough money. Well, we give them, do you want me to give them $15,000? Is that what you want? So they can all go to Hockaday, they can all go to St. Mark? You want to give them a full tuition? That is the most selfish thing I've ever heard. You're going to say $5,000. You're going to keep them the opportunity to go to school or get a scholarship somewhere else. By the way, we had testimony here. And also, that the average tuition for private schools in the state of Texas is $5,800. Average. That means a lot of schools have less than that, right? We had testimony that said in El Paso, the parochial schools in El Paso, the tuition is $3,500 to K through 8. In the state,
there needs to be money left over. State funds, when we pay our taxes, those funds are accountable. They have testing, they have TEKS, they have a list of things that must be accomplished every year. I taught public school.
Okay, so that's pretty much the end of the video there.
Yeah, they just go on from there.
Yeah, so there's a few issues here. One, he's calling people who want to fund public schools in their own districts selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, because by his argument, if you don't want to give money to other people to go to private schools, you're being selfish. But then when someone asks for more money to go to a private school that's in their area that they can actually get to.
That's okay.
No. He says, no, I'm not going to give you that much money.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because she was saying $5,000 isn't enough to go to the private schools where I'm at. Where right. I can get to. Texas is a huge state, right?
Right, yeah.
So if you live in like the more rich part of Texas, your private school is going to be very expensive.
Right.
$5,000 is not going to cover that. That's what she was saying. And she's right. Like, well, you want me to give you 15? You're being selfish. So either if you want to go to public schools, you're being selfish. If you want to go to private school, you're being selfish. Which is it?
Now, these were students he was talking
to? Yes, this was during another Q&A based on the school voucher system.
Oh, okay.
Right, because Texas has got the school voucher system all set up.
And who was this guy?
Texas State Senator Don Huffins. Huffins.
I just...
And then he goes on to commend basically a Catholic school on being cheaper.
We know where he stands.
Right, so here's the problem. Of course, the Catholic school's going to be cheaper. It's partially funded by the Catholic Church.
Right, which is a business, as I've said before. Right.
They're not, and as the other person speaking said, they're not held accountable to the same standards.
No, they're not.
Because they are a religious school.
Tax-free, mind you.
Tax-free, right? And so the tax money that normally would go to an accountable system doesn't go to an accountable system when you give it to religious schools. And that's my biggest deal with school voucher systems. Not that they don't work, because if the voucher system allows you to go to a private school, reasonably fine, okay? Mm-hmm. But when it starts paying for religious instruction, I start having an issue with it.
Right.
I shouldn't have to pay for someone else's religious instruction.
No, God no. God no.
But I'm not done.
Oh, it's typical.
Another issue is the bills he has filed this year.
Uh-huh.
He was just elected in 2015, so he's kind of new.
Okay.
And one of those bills is Senate Bill 29, which is introduced on February 22nd, and would essentially punish any company that boycotts Israel.
Oh, okay.
According to the text, if a company limits commercial relations with Israel or anyone in Israel or any of its territories that is not based solely on ordinary business purpose, will lose financial investments made by the state.
So if they boycott them?
Yeah, if they boycott.
Can he do that?
It's a little funky.
Yeah. But
technically, yes, because he's talking about investments made by like 401k or any stock held by the state.
Oh, uh-huh.
In these private corporations.
Right.
Which they do as far as bonds and all these other things where they interest-bearing stuff.
Right.
But he's saying that if they boycott Israel based mainly on political or religious issues,
right,
then the state of Texas will pull their funds from their investments.
Right.
Which is interesting because I think it plays a little bit into the hypocrisy of the Republican Party.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking in the back of my head.
Shouldn't businesses be allowed to do business with whoever they want for whatever reasons they want?
Well, according to them, they say that all the time.
Right. But as soon as it goes against their personal friend Israel, then we have a huge issue with it.
Right.
Which is another issue I really have with the Republicans. What is their deal with Israel?
I think it's the whole Bible thing.
It's got to be.
I think that's the only reason.
Makes this a religious issue.
Right.
Which technically not is a bad business sense for the state to do this, but it's also could be considered a violation of separation of church state, depending on the reasoning for it.
Right. And you honestly think they're going to flat out say the actual reasoning, right?
Of course they're not.
Sure.
And it's I've never understood their infatuation with Israel. Never have.
I'm telling you, it all comes down to the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And their religion. You know, that's all it comes down to.
The Holy Land.
Exactly. I'm not even kidding.
I know.
Exactly.
It's the Holy Land. I know.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. But it's amazing how hypocritical they really are on so many things.
Which is, it's this guy's here talking about freedom of choice for what school you want to go to, right? Uh-huh. And then he turns around and makes a bill that restricts the freedom of choice of companies to do business with who they want.
Right, which I still find odd them being able to do that, but...
Well,
If they can do that.
The bill is really, really horrible. It's hard to read. And, you know, I read bills a lot, so
right.
And this one's just really, really hard to read.
Is that on purpose,
I'm not sure. It's really convoluted. It's got a lot of weird language in it that doesn't make a lot of straightforward sense.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder if that's on purpose.
I'm pretty sure it is.
In order to make it complicated.
It took me forever to figure out exactly what it was talking about.
Right.
I read the description. I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. It took me, I don't know, good 30 minutes of reading it over and over again to figure it out.
Right, and how many people actually go through and read the entire bills on things that are trying to go through.
Right, because this little language here that I read is hidden in the middle.
Right, it's what I'm talking about.
It doesn't, it's frustrating.
Uh-huh.
That's another issue of mine. I think bills should be really straightforward and easy to read.
Yeah, stop hiding stuff in them, because that's what they do.
Yeah, what they'll do is they'll hide stuff in the definitions.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll talk about the thing that they mentioned in the definition, and nobody knows what the hell they're talking about because nobody read the definitions.
All right.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
I get that from reading code, so it's okay.
Whatever.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
But what I found most interesting was Senate current Resolution 8.
Okay.
Which would make the cannon the official state gun of Texas.
The cannon?
The cannon, as in, you know, big...
I know what a cannon is.
Cannon.
Why?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Literally, that's all the bill said. Make the cannon the official state gun of Texas.
Why?
You know, I could have thought of so many better guns, you know, like a Winchester.
The cannon.
A cannon. It's not even really a gun.
I mean, does it pertain to their state's history or something?
I guess if you look at like the Alamo and stuff like that, those were protected by cannons and... No, not really. Not that I know. I mean, I'm no Texas historian.
I mean,
but...
I know technically a cannon is sort of considered a gun, but to me it doesn't seem like a gun, you know? It's a cannon.
I mean, it's not like Texas was full of pirates.
Right?
I don't know. And cannons are something genuinely you see on a Navy ship, right?
That's what I was thinking, ships.
Right. Right. Of course, there are artillery cannons, right?
Right.
But they're not what you picture when you think of a cannon. When people think of a cannon, this huge tube on a rolling wheels that sticks outside of a boat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people picture as a cannon. You don't picture that going along with the ranchers in Texas.
No, I do see them like with the military, you know, sitting there lined up back in the old day and, you know, they'd fire the cannon, and then you got to wait a while to get the next cannon going. You
yeah,
know?
I mean, I get that because...
Otherwise on a ship after, you know.
I know.
But I do think of that, too. Yeah. But I don't know. He proposed this?
He proposed this. This is one of his bills.
Because he's got nothing better to deal with?
Oh, he's got a lot of crappy bills.
Oh, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Really?
Yeah.
And you said he just got in is more of what my point is.
Yeah, this is his first session.
And he's dealing with this when I'm sure there's other things he could be dealing with.
Which is why he gets the Potter Award.
Using his time better than this.
Yeah. I mean, they can make whatever official state gun they want, but...
I just like, really, this is the most important thing you can come up with today.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Considering there's only other seven other states that have an official state gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some of them make sense. Some of them don't.
Yeah.
Like, I saw it was like Arkansas, I think, has like a musket or something like that. Uh-huh. You know, historical.
Right. You know, reference. That's where I was going before. Yeah.
Tennessee has a semi-automatic assault rifle, like modern weapon looking thing. Unless it's that made there. No, it might be made there. So that's a different thing.
Oh, okay. Because yeah, as I say, you got to have some kind of ties to it. Right. Not just like, I think I'm going to pick this.
Just massive freaking militarized weapon. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a weird one to have as your state gun.
Well, then you think Tennessee, that's not the first kind of weapon you would think.
I think Davy Crockett when I hear Tennessee.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, single shot flintlocks. Mm-hmm. That's what I think of as far as guns. But then that's the history thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's all the yakking I got.
I think I'm good.
All right. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
My input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.